Hi, and welcome to the Expansive Podcast. This is episode number 2 for the year 2026, the year of the fire horse. John, have you been experiencing the fire horse just yet?
Yo, my bum's burning. The horse is hot. It's hot. It's amazing that we've never, ever known what Chinese year it is. This year, everybody... It's the year of the horse. Like, I mean, the year of the rat, nobody said anything. The year of the snake, nobody said anything. All of a sudden, year of the horse, we're all Chinese astrologists. What happened?
Dude, I think people are literally just so overwhelmed, so uncertain, like just everything happening to you at the same time, that we are just looking for anything that we can hold on to. And if you tell us it's the year of the horse and we can go and run and be successful.
We're holding on.
Yes. I'm taking it.
Well, I was watching a Chinese lady and she was saying that this is the year of the fire horse and it only happens every 60 years. And this is not just a normal year of the horse, it's a fire horse. And the last time there was a French Revolution, American Revolution, and Communication Revolution. And that was the most interesting one I heard. It was like, I can't remember the details, but they were talking about the telegram and then we're talking about the internet and they were talking about... And so we realized that this is now starting the process of a new communication revolution. And they were saying that a lot of the revolutions, like the American Revolution and the French Revolution, were based on information being shared with populations that didn't get access to that information before. And I thought it was very interesting because that's kind of what's starting to happen now, where our access to new information is growing. And now we're like asking much bigger questions about things, you know? So, interesting what's going to happen this year.
Yeah, I was reading an interesting article yesterday about artificial, like someone had a conversation with Claude. You know, like people post these things all the time. Like they ask these existential questions of AI and then post it to short form. But anyway, one of the guys that really spends a lot of time trying to understand AI got it to write an article about how it processes information. And so one of the things it says is that as humans, like our default mode of communication is very linear. So we want to go, here's the question, what's next, what is after that, then try to understand and go deeper. And he was saying that, so Claude's explanation of how it processes information is to say, think of New York Times, like the Times Square, and think of every single thing that is happening on that square. So the entertainers, the people walking around, the cars. I'm processing all of that at exactly the same moment through all different possibilities of that thing, understanding the nuances, background, history of every single thing in that square. And so when you speak about communication, I think this is definitely going to be a big unlock for us. The moment we start to communicate with AI in the way that it actually should be communicated with, because we are linear creatures communicating with something that is vast, that has incredible understanding of the world around us, but we aren't able to tap that yet because that's not the way that we process the world around us. So there's a mismatch in communication. So just imagine what happens a few years down the line when that mismatch is sorted out.
Yeah, the speed mismatch. In my new book, I call it the speed mismatch. It's my first chapter. It's the mismatch of technological growth and human evolution. Is our evolution is the speed mismatch is actually growing. The gap is going bigger and bigger and bigger because AI is growing faster and people are stressing more. So there's almost going to be a snap moment, I think, you know, where people have no choice. They have to kind of like release in a way, you know. And a lot of the podcasts I've been listening to, I listened to a lot. We spoke about it on the pod that we're not listening to many pods, but I've actually been listening to the Moonshot pod a lot with Peter Diamandis and Elon Musk and Peter Diamandis and all the other people he interviews. And most of them are saying 2026 is going to be the year where corporates are starting to wobble in a massive way as the understandings of this AI start to really become embedded and start to become practiced inside the organizations. And so, we're in for a pivotal year. And if you think about all the fire horse ideas and all the astrology and also besides the fire horse, you've got, I don't know what any of these things mean, but you've got all these planets that are aligning that the last time, and one of the astrologers is saying the last time this happened was thousands of years ago. It wasn't even recent in any way. So we've got all these alignments happening. And look, I'm going to come back to it again. Aliens are going to land this year, are going to connect with us this year. I think that's going to be a big part of this, our evolution. So we have these two moving parts. We have AI coming to us and we've got these intelligence from a different galaxy coming to us. And so we've got these two meeting points, and it's almost like we squashed between these two very intelligent, very different types of beings, you know, in certain ways. So yeah, it's
listen, I also just want to say that you've been predicting that for 3 years. You can't predict it every year.
Yeah, but they've been coming in different pockets. Just because you're not accessed to it doesn't mean they're not coming to you, my son. So they've been coming to Dr. Joe's events. Exactly. So they're not in Somerset West, my friend. They're in different areas, in different area codes. And so, yes, they're coming down in pockets. They haven't been on CNN yet, but that's coming as well. And remember that these things always start off slowly because they also don't want to burn out our nervous systems. Because I remember doing some work with an Indian university called Oneness University, and they had three levels to their meditations. And one of the last level, level three, was you spending days inside a dark room and doing work in that space. And I was doing work with the monk, his name was Vidyaka. Caveat, every picture with Vidyaka had golden globes all around him. Like we had, I don't know, 20 pictures. I wish I'd kept them. There was orbs all around Vidyaka every time he was in a picture, which was amazing, you know. Anyway, they said that you can't jump from one to two to three. You can't jump to three because it would burn your nervous system out. It's too much energy to hold. And you often hear that when people are doing Kundalini activations and yoga and those sort of things. And it can actually burn your circuitry because it's just too much information for you to hold. So I think with the alien scenario is it's happened slowly at people that are able to hold that sort of energetic frequency of it, and then slowly but surely getting it into the rest of the population. So yes, they have been arriving, they have been in pockets of engagement, but you know, I think it's going to become more mass engagements that's going to start happening.
Well, I mean, speaking about alien technology and the world then changing, so you went to the $1 billion or 1 billion follower, what was it called, Simon?
Yeah, well, I think it was just called 1 billion because it was the idea of you having a 1 billion views. And somebody did some explanation that was, I don't know, some ridiculous number when you combined all the influencers and all their views that were there. It was like some stupid number
they
had. Yeah, stupid. Yeah, look, it was fascinating. It was such a fascinating 3 days. Look, firstly, let me start off by saying conferences bore me to death. I can't stand them. They irritate me. This conference, dude, I was there all 3 days, right from the beginning till about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, till I got bored. I can't sit for too long and listen. But I was on the main stage for 3 days, and I saw everybody from Mr. Beast to a Filipino magician that has got, I don't know, 8 million followers to the guy who started, I sent it to you. What's it called? Kit.
Nathan Berry.
The email kit. Yeah, he was there. The guy who's the CEO of Twitch, he was there. The main guy from Twitter in this area, he was there. X, he was telling us about X and what's happening. Will Smith was there. When Will Smith arrived, I mean, pandemonium. I mean, you should have seen the security around Will Smith. It was pandemonium. People were going mad seeing Will Smith. I mean, I was just interested to see what he was going to say. People were, falling over each other.
That's so interesting. There was his sentiment has been on a downslide for the past couple of years.
Yes.
Because
that's what I thought. That's what I thought.
Like the big slap thing.
Yeah.
He's had all these like very cringy things that he's done. And like the latest thing was when he was on tour and he fabricated like his audience was all AI generated and people spotted and they were pointing out like, how, you know, they used AI-generated images for the audience. And like, why would you need to do this if you're Will Smith? And so like my entire perception has been that—
Me too.
His reputation is basically ruined.
Me too. That's what I thought. But you know, I think he was in Dubai launching his new National Geographic series, Pole to Pole.
Yes.
And so because I think he was here, he came to this, you know. And also I think he's friends with the royal family. I mean, I think he spends an extended amount of time in Dubai, you know?
Oh, he must have.
Yeah.
Yeah, he must have an incredible network.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it was just interesting to watch him operate, you know? And but the most impressive was Mr. Beast. Firstly, he looked bored. He was like, I think Mr. Beast is in a different world. I mean, he was setting the audience. I mean, he was sitting where he was sitting and there was two ministers around him. And the main minister, I mean, this guy's like the top of the top. So he started 1 billion. He started Future Museum. And this guy's like serious. I mean, I've seen him talk a few times. They're all very, very impressive. But every time he came on and off stage, everybody would stand. Mr. Beast was like in a dwell. I don't know, he was on some other planet. He wasn't standing. And then he kind of, people would greet him. And he was like, I think he's just exhausted, actually. He looked very exhausted. And then he also spoke about how people were attacking him for doing well. Like, he was like, I'm so confused. I'm helping people walk and see. And then people are attacking me. I was like, I'm so like, what's wrong with you? Like, I'm doing this out of like, I want to change the world. And he says, I've got hardly any money in my bank account. I give everything back. It's like, the whole thing is about giving back. It's about helping slavery, a chocolate farm, slavery and the kids there and helping them. And just like he was going through all the things that he was doing and a little bit perturbed at the fact that people were just so negative about what he was up to. And then he brought with him 10 of the top influencers in the world. All these faces you would recognize. They do all different types of like YouTubes, and he had brought them with, and they were doing a whole thing together about uplifting kindness as a hashtag online. But ultimately, after watching all of it, it was so impressive. I mean, I sat next to this girl. I can't remember her name, but we started speaking, and she was from Iraq. And I was like, so, okay, so what do you do? She said, I do makeup. I was like, okay, amazing. Showed me a page, 1.5 million followers. I was like, wow, dude. And she was like 23. I was like, yo, these people are operating, huh? And so like walking through the halls, there was all these influencers around, all cameras, drones. I mean, just think about it. It's almost like a bodybuilding competition, but with everybody there that's in just creator mode and people being interviewed and podcasts happening and YouTube stand and TikTok stand and Snap stand and just like, whoa, so much energy, you know? It was fantastic. I even met a guy from South Africa called Sia, Dr. Sia. He was the head doctor at Guguletu Hospital. And I mean, he saw everything, very like gangster killings. I mean, he was explaining to me, but he's gone viral. He's got a few million followers. Now he teaches medical, just medical stuff through songs and through rap. And so he's quite a cool guy, you know? Yeah, so interesting, you know? So I met him. Just everybody's doing their own thing. And this is the ultimate thing about the conference, is that these people are at the cutting edge of the future of work. This is what the future of work is creating pockets of fans based on your uniqueness and monetizing those fans. And you have layers of these fans, right? You have the general population, then you have fans, super fans, hyper super fans. And so most of the people there were living off what they were doing online and making content. And so obviously the dark side of it is there's immense pressure on them to keep putting stuff out, and they burn out a lot of the times. And of course that side of it is there. But ultimately for me, it just taught me a couple things. One, your authenticity sells better than ever. That's really what it's all about. Every single one of these players, one of these influencers and creators were authentic, just 100% themselves. You can't last for so long if you're not. Two, every single one of them went on a posting 3 times a day, 5 times a day mission until they hit it. Every single one. There wasn't one that by mistake. You have to bully and overload and suffocate the algorithm. You just have to. There's just no other way for you to do it. And then the third thing is moving into cinematic production. And they were talking about how much some of them were spending on their videos and what they were doing and the teams they had with them creating the videos. And so there was such a range of different things to take away from each one of those creators. And ultimately, it confirmed a lot of what you and I are doing and a lot of people that we know online that are creating businesses around their own personal brands and selling things around that. And that's only going to grow. And then the question around AI came, and they said, yes, of course, AI is going to impact it, but the authenticity of you building your crowd will be very clear still. They were quite confident about that. If you've built an authentic crowd around you, that things should be fine, you know? But they also spoke about in real life events and like having those as well as substitutes, or not substitutes, as additions to it. So look, I mean, the best thing I can tell you, and this is kind of something that I'm being measuring with my clients and you as well, is rebooking. And I am going to book again for next year, and I'm going to upgrade my ticket to VIP. And so that tells you it was fantastic. I highly recommend you come to it next year, just to be around them and sit and listen and just take it all in. You know, I sat in hours of boring sessions to get to Mr. Beast, because the queue to get to Mr. Beast was like, I don't know, right around the block.
I can imagine.
But I sat in that hall. Yeah, I sat in that hall. Even Will, right around the block. So I sat in the hall for like two or three sessions, which forced me to listen to the CEO of Twitch. I mean, I didn't care about Twitch. But Twitch was very important because Twitch was talking about building online communities. Twitch is the only platform that has people with you for hours. All the other ones are there for 3 minutes. Twitch was a very different approach that they had, you know? Very interesting. And this is the real gift of living in Dubai. Mm. Yeah, it's just getting access to these things. And I did make a commitment to myself for 2026 is that whatever is happening in Dubai, I'm going to go and do it, you know? Last weekend, they had the world's best burger competition. So they had all the burgers from around the world, Argentina, name it, Peru, Belgium, Germany, Spain, and Spain won everything. Spain actually won all the competitions. Spain had the best food. And it's funny because when I went to Madrid, I think I even said it to you and I said it online. Spain, Madrid was the best food city I've ever been to. Mm. I've never tasted better food than in Spain. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable the quality of food that they had. So yeah, this is Dubai, you know?
Very cool.
And next week we're going to some we're going to some art exhibition, a digital art exhibition. This weekend I went to a longevity expedition. So I bought myself, expo. I bought myself a 9 kilo blanket. So these heavy weighted blankets. So I bought that. I finally got myself a decent red light. Because when you take methylene blue, you know
I've seen it.
Take that and you put red light. I've been doing it. So do that with red light works. There was a guy, so amazing. There was a guy there that was a sculpt doctor, not a hair doctor, a sculpt doctor. And so he'd created all these products for your scalp, not for your hair. And he said, look, it's like farming. You got to get the soil right before your crops grow well. I was like, you're so right. Yeah. He was like this. And he helps the royal family in the UK with their hair. I was like, geez, but Prince William looks terrible. He's like, besides Prince William, I helped all the others. I helped them with their. So, just fascinating. You know, this is Dubai. The exposure is amazing.
I think, the world we live in, everyone is a creator. And I think that's an important thing to start also realizing. We recently saw, I think it was the head of LinkedIn or Spotify that was like hiring for a personal assistant, like content creator vibe role. Like it was someone who had to help him put content out into the world. And so you realize that number one, you are a personal brand. That's just part of how we show up in this world today. And if you're a personal brand, it requires you to create a perspective and a persona around the work that you are doing. And the way that you do that is through the content that you put out. And so you need to be a good content creator. There's just no getting around from like, if you can't be a thought leader, not a content creator. Like those two things almost don't exist today because this is the message through which we land or the medium through which we land the message. And when when we look at the landscape, and I know we've touched on this before, we really are in this space where there's almost no trust left online. And let me rephrase that. I think there's a little bit of trust left online. I think in the next 2 or 3 years, there's going to be no trust left online because people can just deep fake anything. I shared this thing on Instagram over the weekend of a guy who in real time is just sitting there recording himself and deep faking it into any celebrity. And you would never, ever tell the difference. You know, like there was a time when you could see the deep fake was a deep fake. A few features were off. The motion blur was a bit weird. If you showed me that, I would have to look very carefully to know that that is a deepfake.
Two things I forgot to say. Firstly, one of them, which has not got to do with this, is that you must have an opinion of the world. You can't not have an opinion. And you must be very clear about your opinion. But the guy who also is starting Vine up again, you know Vine? Remember the Vine?
Yeah, dude, it's coming up again. That was huge. So that was the foundation for all of the short form content.
Exactly. Yeah. So he was there and he was saying that how they're kicking off Vine again, but zero AI content. Not allowed. Zero. If you find AI anywhere, not cutting it. So what I also think is going to happen is if social media like YouTube and TikTok are going to be overrun by these AI characters, I think they're going to start making rules for themselves because they're going to start losing us.
Yeah.
So there's also talk about the new things that social media platforms are going to start to do to show you and highlight you where's AI, where's not AI. But again, you're right. I mean, it is breaking down trust, but I think they're going to start to think about ways to get around it because of this exact issue that many of us might leave social media because of it, you know?
Yeah. The Instagram guy, like, I think his name is something with Siri. He's head of content for Instagram. And he said that you need to find a way to differentiate between what is AI and what's like real. And people have been saying, like, how do we add a watermark to AI? But obviously, like, if you have people who are bad characters, they'll find ways to get around watermarks.
Of course.
So he was saying the smarter thing actually is to cryptographically embed things that are real. Like he says, it's much easier to have a timestamp from a camera and use that as verification versus something that is digitally created for AI.
Okay.
I thought that was quite smart. I didn't think about it in that.
Give me an example of that. I don't quite understand that.
So I mean, if you take a photo on your camera, it embeds a lot of metadata on it. So it'll tell you location, or like lots of information about it.
And you can't fake that. You can't fake that.
You can't fake that. So he's saying like it's much easier to use that than to use.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so that the one other thing I want to say about being a creator is that there's definitely a lot of intentionality that needs to go in behind it. It's not just putting out your content. That's what you were saying about the cinematic content. Like I've been on that journey now for years. You know, I've invested in so much camera gear. It's like my guilty pleasure. Yeah. I love
it's your face. Down, editing. It's your face, not the camera, bro. It's your face. They did say ugly people will never make it. So I'm sorry. I left that part out. Well, I thought you were a bit sensitive about it.
That's what filters are for. That's what filters are for. That's all I can say.
So I'm kidding, yeah.
But I think there's something about the effort that goes in behind content. And I think that becomes...
Yeah.
And it's weird, like, because there's this paradox at the moment. On the one hand, I'm hearing a lot of people say it's more cinematic, more effort. And on the other hand, it's like more low effort, more human, more raw, more like just your front-facing camera. So you probably have to play...
I think both, Eric.
You have to, like, play between the two.
I think both. Yeah,
and you'll find which one works for you. But that all comes from the intention of like going and trying it out. There's a YouTube channel called Gawk's Art. Like if you ever want to just like go in and watch something like really, you can see someone put a lot of effort into it. It's beautifully done. Just go look at this dude's work. He does like these self-reflective style videos. But oh, man, the effort he puts into his videos, like that could never be recreated. Just using AI. Like that guy is so masterful at what he does. And ultimately.
Can we put that in the show notes for people to link into?
I will.
Sounds amazing.
I will. Okay. It's so beautiful. So you have that on the one end of the spectrum in my head as the ultimate cinematic effort. Yeah. And then you have these guys who just flip open Instagram. It's like their head is cut off here in the middle, but they're just talking about something and they get millions of likes off that. So you have to just find your way.
And you also just don't know which one it's going to be. Yeah, and you just don't know which one it's going to be. You know, it's just one is going to go viral, one's not going to go viral. It's just, I don't know. But look, ultimately, it's the world we live in. There's no getting away from it. This is where we're going. The future doesn't lie inside a corporate office. The future lies in you being a good TV presenter. That's another thing I thought. How is it the world we've all become TV presenters? Like, you know, there was only like four people. Hello, welcome to Channel 4 and the news. Oh, hello. Hi, this is John for the weather. Now everybody is doing that. Like what? How did we all become TV presenters? Because walking through the halls of 1 billion, it's just everybody's a TV personality, a podcast host, a podcast interviewer. It's like everybody's become that, you know?
No, I was going to say, it's so amazing. It's so amazing that people can broadcast themselves into the world and find their audience.
Yeah. Gary Vee also said something. He wasn't there, but Gary Vee said something interesting on a video recently. He said, you need to be sharing every aspect of your lifestyle, not deep. You must go broad. Like let people feel all of your personality because they want to connect with you deeply. They want to understand every aspect of you, you know? And so I've also started sharing like my fit checks. Now I'm starting, like I've got a new mirror in my lift. So I'm like, okay, I want to start sharing fitness, fashion, and thought leadership so that I can have a broader range of an expression of my personality, you know? And so that's also been fun for me because even now when I get dressed, I'm like, oh, I wore that the other week. I can't put that. I'm not going to be able to take a photo. Even like what I'm wearing, I'm like, okay, I can't put that. It's like making a video for what you've spoken about. Like, I can't speak about that. I spoke about it in my last video. So it's almost like it's helping me access different parts of my creativity. which is also really fun. You know, remember when I told you when I interior designed my place in Marina, it was such a fun process doing interior design. It was just accessing a different part of my brain that has been dormant for so long. And so when you start to put yourself under the sort of pressure of like, okay, I want to do a fit check picture, I've got to really make sure that I'm not repeating anything, you know? So just, it's fun, man. It's just like playing this like gymnastics inside your head of what you want to be doing and how you want to be expressing yourself. Yeah, it's fun.
I spoke to someone last week who is now like ready to get their head in the game. And they are so crippled by perfectionism around this. And it feels like, and this is just something for people to keep in mind in general, it feels like when you post something on the internet that everyone is going to see it. And that's why you're so scared of it. You're like, what if I say the wrong thing? What if it doesn't land? And then you think, oh, everyone's going to see it. No one sees it. When you start off, no one sees it. Even if you've been going for a few years, no one sees it. You're like, you think a lot of people are going to see it.
Yeah. Look, you know what's so funny? I was actually going to say, My TikToks haven't been doing that well. I've just had one that went to like 20,000. The other 55 TikToks I've posted, I've done like, and you know what TikTok tells me now? Congratulations, you got 100 views. And I was laughing. It's like, it's even babying me at 100 views. Like, you can do it, boy. Come on. One more step, boy. 100 views on TikTok. It's like, almost like, stop telling me that. It's embarrassing. Rather say nothing. So, that is the case.
I had like a pretty good week on Instagram from like my perspective. Like I posted, posted this like dance video, the two of us
dancing
that did very well.
Yeah.
And like my things did okay. And I log in the other day and I logged in now. I went from 8,175 followers to 8,170 followers.
Congratulations.
That's after a good week on Instagram.
That's a good week. Minus five. How did you do? Well, we got rid of the deadwood. Those people didn't like me anyway. So I'm glad they left.
What a fun game that we play. Yes. Yes.
Oh my God. Yeah. Little ego hits. Eh? Little ego hits. You're like, oh my God. Yeah, it's embarrassing. So, geez, I'm sweating for you. I'm literally sweating for your minus five numbers.
Minus five.
Minus five. Yeah. Your growth is exceptional, Eric. What a good year. Fire horse, you say, hey?
Fire horse.
Are you sure you're still not in the snake? You're still shedding.
My fire horse is excluding Instagram.
Your Instagram. it's your bank account, not Instagram. I was also going to mention something. This weekend, I had a really great experience, again, of Dubai. You know, it's like, also because I've moved downtown, my exposure to different services and different products has changed dramatically. And there's a massage place below me called Ying Yang or Ling Lang. And what I always joke is the less English your masseuse can speak, the better she is. She's from China. She's so legitimately Chinese. She can't speak any English. And I went to this and I booked a shiatsu because I was like, I've had a normal one. So I thought, let me try shiatsu. They called it a meridian massage. So I get in there and she used her feet for 70% of the massage. And what I didn't see when I came in is that there was this whole structure above that you could hold on to while she was squeezing her feet onto my back. Dude, it felt like I was in an S&M party. The pain and the pleasure were so closely linked together. But she cracked me in ways I've never been cracked before in my life. Actually, I said to her, I was like, I don't know if she understood anything I said, but I had never experienced anything like that. And it was all feet pressure and body pressure. It was the most unbelievable massage I've ever had. It was like, I'm 50 years old. I've just had the best massage I've ever had in my life. And she cracked me every single little place. I can't wait to go again. That was the first thing. That happened on Saturday. And then on Sunday, somebody told me about this place called Face Flex. And what they do is they have cardio for your face, HIIT for your face. It's like workouts, but for your face.
Yeah.
So you go there and yesterday I went for cardio for your face and it's 60 minutes of them slapping you around, literally like slapping parts of your face around. And then this is the first time I paid anybody to hit me. But it was so fascinating.
Volunteer to be a massage therapist for you next time?
Yeah, don't forget, because when you come off, I'm going to massage you. So that'll be the payback. But firstly, I don't want any man's hands touching me. So the answer is no. I only want dainty fingers touching me, not hairy Dutchman fingers from Springs. That's a very South African. If you're not South African, you won't understand any of that. Springs is an area in Johannesburg that's really for farmers. And that's where Eric comes from. That's why he's so tall and strapping.
Farmers.
Springs.
We were miners. Springs was for miners.
That's what I meant. You see, that's how little I know, because I come from the classy place called Edenvale, which was just down the road. It was much as rough. Exactly. Yeah. Look, compared to Springs, it was classy. What are you talking about? Anyway. And so I got myself beaten up this weekend, and I paid an exorbitant amount of money for both, and I feel fantastic.
Nice.
So,
cost of relaxation and beauty in 2026.
Is to be beaten, yeah. Yes. To get the natural collagen back in your face. So, yeah. Looking forward to another week. I don't know what Dubai holds for us this week, but looking forward to it. And the weather, let me tell you, you know what the low is in Dubai? It's 10 degrees. And the high is 21.
Jeez.
Yeah. It's cold, dude. It's really cold. It's unbelievable. I've been sitting here with my house robe on, you know? I just took it off for the pod. So, you don't look like Hugh Hefner walking around in my velvet bathrobe.
We all thank you for that.
What are you talking about? Some people would pay extra for that.
All right, dude. Thank you so much. I think that's it for the pod. Good episode on, I think, where we are today in terms of like being creators in the world. That is what is required from us. If you have not yet dipped your feet into the pool of being a creator, then it's about time that you do so. And the amazing thing is that the world is wide open to you. Like, you can choose so many things. If you don't want to put your face on video, go write. If you don't want to write, go start a podcast. Don't start a podcast. Everyone has started a podcast. No more podcasts are allowed. But you are allowed to do anything else that you want to do. There's just so many ways to express the things that you care about, the things that you're interested in, and to express who you are into the world.
It's fun, man.
All these different mediums.
It's so fun.
It's fun.
It is fun, yeah. You know, unless you get 24 views, and it's not so fun. But after that, it becomes fun.
At 24 views and minus 5 followers. But that's part of the game. And
look,
that
Eric
we are
is still
playing.
Smiling. He's still standing. He only cried a little bit before the pod off
just
air.
Just on the external. Yeah. But you'll find your audience, and like the most random niches have tons of people in them. So go and create, go and express yourself, find a medium that feels good to you, and just go play and see where
Absolutely.
It takes you.
Wise words.
So that's it for the pod, dude. It was a pleasure as always. My obliques are really killing me after the session. And we'll catch up again next week. So for everyone listening, thank you for joining in, and we'll catch you again soon. Ciao.